Welcome. Everybody's excited this morning. We have some beautiful weather outside. I walked out and I'm like, I don't need a winter coat this morning. What do I do? So it is gracious to be here this morning. During this time, this season of Lent, may we look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, and grow in love towards God and one another. Welcome to worship. Let us prepare for worship. In Matthew 27, verses 22 to 24, the question is asked, what shall we do with Jesus? This is a question that each of us have to answer at some point in our lives. Today, as we continue on the path to the cross, we hear a third-person account about a voice from the mob. Let's listen and consider what our response would be to this question.
Yes, Jerusalem was packed with Jews from all over the region, celebrating the Passover. People stood at the gate of the fortress and watched as soldiers and priests made their way inside. Someone whispered that there would be a trial. Many did not even know who was accused and of what, but they were enjoying the excitement. Someone pointed to a very ordinary-looking man, bound and being dragged along. They said it was the Nazarene, that rabbi who was always making outlandish statements. Evidently, he had caused a lot of trouble for the priest. They said he had claimed to be the Son of God. Some said he had made the sick well, and they had seen the crippled walk. Some claimed he even raised the dead. Who could do this? No one had done before. The night grew long and cold. Some stood near the fire. Some pushed and shoved to make sure they didn't miss anything. When the soldiers brought him back out into the courtyard, the people followed, carrying torches. They went toward the governor's palace. What would he do? Perhaps the soldiers would only whip him and let him go. They brought him before the Roman governor, who said he could find no fault with Jesus, but that didn't satisfy the crowd. They wanted blood. Pilate had him whipped, and the crowd roared in triumph. The custom was to free one prisoner during the Passover, so Pilate offered to free him. What shall I do with him? Pilate asked. Someone shouted, kill him, kill him. Like wildfire, the chant spread through the crowd. Crucify him, crucify him. The mob worked itself into a frenzy, shouting for his death. Caught up in the excitement, even some of those who had witnessed many of the wonderful things Jesus had done joined in the outcry. What about me? Do I get caught up in the situations where everyone else is doing something and so I go along? Do I ever stand up for what is right, even if it means I stand alone? Have I ever gone along with the crowd only to be ashamed and remorseful later when I realize what I had done? Am I guilty?
Please bow your heads with me. Dear Lord, as we reflect on the words of Pilate and the crowd who called for the crucifixion of Jesus, we are filled with sadness and remorse. We pray that we may never be swayed by the opinions of others or the pressures of the world to turn away from you. Help us to always stand firm in our faith and to never deny you, even in the face of persecution. May we always remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us on the cross and strive to live a life that honors and glorifies you. Amen. We are now going to have some special music with Walt Kreider, and as it says, it's in honor of Louise Helm.
I had a special relationship with Louise. For several years, we visited sick and shut-ins, and Pastor Brian knew it, and he didn't care. We visited them, sang songs, and I said, Louise, you can sing along, sing a little louder. She said, oh, I'm not a very good singer. She said, I like to think that I make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So I said, fine, that's fine. One day, we were visiting, and she handed me a sheet of paper. I didn't know what it was at first, but it was written by her, and I assume directed to me only. So you're going to hear it. It's Bible verses. For all have sinned. This is Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come back out of the glory of God. We are all sin. I guess I got to put my glasses on. She didn't write too large. We are all sinners by nature and by choice. We receive eternal life as a free gift. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God demonstrates his love for us, his enemies. Romans 5:8. But God commandeth her love toward us, his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You must trust and surrender to Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 9:10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confessions is made unto salvation. A sinner's prayer for forgiveness. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Christ is the Son of God, who died for me and rose from the grave. I want to turn from my sin and trust him. Christ alone as my Savior, thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life. I now have thought faith in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Our assurance of salvation through Jesus. Romans 10:13. For whoever shall come call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Romans 5:9. Christ shed blood now satisfies God's anger over our sins. And she makes a note here. This is something I picked up while we were at Lena's. I don't know who Lena is. I'm sure someone in here does. I'm sure we visited her, but I can't remember names. Okay. Well, I'm going to see that the family gets this as well. This song is, I've never sang it in front of Louise or anyone we visited, because it's not a song of inspiration. It's one that's meant to be sung at a funeral, a service honoring someone. It was originally a poem written by a woman who passed away, and her daughter found this poem among her belongings. And she gave it to Tim Stafford, who is a member of the Blue Highway Band. And they looked at it, and they figured out how they could sing this song. And it's become very popular for this kind of occasion. It's called Someday. Someday when my last line is written, someday when I draw my last breath, when the last words on earth have been spoken, and my lips are sealed in death, don't look at my cold form in pity, don't think of me as one dead. It'll just be the house I once lived in. My spirit by then will have fled. I will have finished my time here allotted, for I won't be in darkness alone. I will have heard from heaven the summons to come on home. And when my body is in the grave, don't think that I'll be there. I won't be dead, but living in the place Jesus went to prepare. And after all is said and done, know that my last earnest prayer is that my loved ones be ready someday to meet me there.
If you will now turn with me in your Bibles, I will be reading our scripture for today, and it is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 18. And this is entitled, Love One Another. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. May God bless the reading of his word, and now Pastor Gallen is going to bring us the morning message.
It has definitely been a time of struggle for this church as we are dealing with three funerals here of members of the church. We've had folks that were sick, and have been dealing with a challenging time. As you know, our family has dealt with a challenging time with the loss of my mother-in-law. And it seems like here in this area, we've had quite a lot of fog and dreariness. But today, The good news is the sun is shining. Amen. And I thought about that and how God reveals himself to us in those times of struggle, in those times of trials. When we had been here very shortly, as we were going through the severe illness of my mother-in-law before she passed away, I looked behind Wise. We happened to be at Wise grocery store, and I looked behind Wise in the middle of a dreary day. There was a rainbow. And again, it is God revealing himself to us that through our times of struggle, through our times of trial, that he is there with us. His sun shines down on us as we go through those times. I want to thank this church here, our church, for your prayers, for your support, for your encouragement for me and my family as we have gone through a rough period of time with my mother-in-law under hospice care and then her passing. You have supported us in various ways. And you have made us feel at home, and you have loved us through this time. And I want to let you know how much we appreciate that, that you have truly been a huge blessing to our family during this very difficult and challenging time. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your love that you have shown to us, and thank you for your encouragement. We have a vision here at this church, and it is something that we have been talking about. It is something that we have been looking at, that our goal is to learn this vision statement of our church, because a vision is what God wants for his church in the future. And this vision statement of Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church is solidly grounded in God's word. I would like us to read it together today. If you know it, you don't have to look at the words. You can just say it out loud. But I want us to share together in this vision statement of our church. Would you read it with me? With unity and Christ-like attitudes, we will pray and seek the Holy Spirit so that we can love better, teach the truth, and develop disciples. Do that part again with love better. Love better, teach the truth, and develop disciples. Would you say just those two words again today? Those words that are in bold and in red. Let's say them together. Love better. Because God calls us as his people, as his church, to love better. You know, as I was researching for my message today, I've discovered that there are churches who have different names. And there are churches that have names like Love Church, where they actually have the word love in their name. There are churches all across the country. There's one church called House of Love. And these churches have the word love in their names. And as I thought about that, I thought that love may be in a church's name, but it's no guarantee that that particular church loves people. We can wear the t-shirt that says love people, but do we really show that love in the way that we interact with others? Listen to me today. As a church here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, as Christians, we are called to spread God's love. And we're called to do more than just say we love people. We are called to love people with our actions. We are called to show that love to others. In 1 John 3:18, the passage of scripture that Tom read for us this morning, it says these words. It says the apostle John, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, he writes these words. He says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but let us love with actions and in truth." You see, we are called to love better. We are called to love with words, not with words, but we are called to love with actions and in truth. And what does it mean to love in this way? To love with our actions, we've got to do something first. If we're going to love people with our actions, we first have to notice the needs of the people around us. You see, some people are nearsighted physically. Maybe some of you in this room are nearsighted. And what that means is you only see a short distance. You don't see far away, so you need glasses in order or contacts in order to see a long distance because you only see what's up close. You are nearsighted physically. As a church, we can become nearsighted spiritually. As a church, we can become a church that only sees the needs of our people. We only see ourselves and our needs. And we fail to look around and see the needs of the people in this community. We fail to look around and see who needs our love because we're so focused on ourselves. I know a church who got to that point. I know a church where its members saw only themselves. They saw only their needs. And they worked to make their sanctuary beautiful. They worked to better themselves. And there was a point in their congregation where there was no outreach because all they did was focus on their needs and what they wanted. And here's what happened in that church. During that period of time, this church did not make an impact on the community because it only cared about itself. It did not make an impact on the world around it because it only focused on its needs and what it wanted, and it only focused on itself. Listen to me today. If we are going to be a church that loves better, we must first look around. We must first see the needs of people beyond ourselves. We've got to look around. Before we can love with our actions, the first step in doing that is looking around at the needs and seeing who needs our love. I want us to practice this morning. I want us to practice looking around. So if you would this morning, would you swivel your head? I know you can't do a 360. But would you do at least a 90? At least a 90, maybe a 180. And just look around. Just look around. We're practicing. Good job looking around. You can stop now. But that's a practice. It's a practice to what God wants us to do in our community and in our world. He wants us to swivel our heads and look around to see the needs of the people in this town, in this community. And when we do so, when we look around at this community, we can see there are physical needs of people here in Shippensburg and in Chambersburg. There are people around us who are homeless. There are people around us who are hungry. There are people around us who have emotional needs. There are people right here in this community who are filled with sadness. There are people around us right here in Shippensburg who are worried, and they live with constant worry. And if we're going to be a church that loves better, if we're going to be a church that loves in action, we need to notice who needs our love. May we always be a church that first notices the needs of people around us. Let's always be a church, let's always be Christians who look around to notice who needs our love. To love with our actions, we must first notice the needs of the people around us. And then what I want us to see today, if we're going to love with our actions after we notice people's needs, then we are called to do something to show God's love. So first, it's about noticing, and then it's about doing something to show people the love of God in our community. For us here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, it's feeding people at our grab-and-go ministry as people come here and receive food. We are showing our love through our actions. For us here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, it's packing a shoebox for Operation Christmas Child at Samaritan's Purse as we share the love of Jesus through our actions, and those children in different countries receive a shoebox with gifts, but they also receive the greatest gift, which is the gift of Jesus in that shoebox. We are showing God's love as we pack that shoebox and send it to another country. At Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, we sometimes give change to children in Africa. It's another way to show God's love. For us as individuals, showing God's love in tangible ways means listening to someone who is hurting. It means praying for someone who is sick. It's doing something to show the love of Jesus. Not just saying that we love the Lord, but it's taking time to practice it. Taking time to show it in a real way. I want to practice that right now. We've practiced swiveling our heads. And I want us to practice something else today, something that we can do for people out in the world. I want to invite you, if you will, to reach out a hand to someone that's next to you. Could you do that? Just reach out a hand. If you don't want to shake hands, maybe you can fist bump. But I want to invite you to reach out a hand to someone. Now you can let go. We're practicing today what God has called us to do out into the world. To reach out a hand to someone. That's what we're called to do as Christians. We're called to reach out to our community. We're called to reach out and show God's love. To lend a hand to someone who has a need. I love what 19th century pastor D.L. Moody said. He said these beautiful words. He said, "Show me a church where there is love, and I will show you a church that is a power in the community." I love that. I'm going to say it again. Show me a church where there is love, and I will show you a church that is a power in the community. Because here's what happens. People will see our love in action. They will see us actually loving other people in real ways. And they may want to know more about this Jesus because of our love. Our love will show other people Jesus. And then because of our showing this love to someone else, people will see Jesus living in us. You see, brothers and sisters, our love in action is a witness for Jesus Christ. When we love someone else, we are a witness for Jesus. And we share His love as we love others, and people see Jesus living in us. As a church here at Shippensburg Covenant Brethren Church, and as a Christian, may we always do two things. Let's be people who swivel our heads. Let's be people who look around to see the needs of this community. Let's look around to see who needs our love. And let's, instead of just looking, let's do more than just looking around. Let's, after we look, let's reach out to show God's love to the people in this community. I want to say something to this church family, our church family today, that my family and I, my wife and I and children, have seen your love in action. During the recent death and illness of my wife's mother, we have seen your love not just in words, we have seen your love in tangible ways. Because we have seen your love for us through your prayers. People have come to me and said many times, I am praying for your family. And that is one way that we can show God's love to someone else is through our prayers. We have also seen your love and your care for our family through cards that you have sent to us. We have seen your love and care through your presence as you have asked questions about my mother-in-law, how she had been doing, how is our family after dealing with this illness and death. We have seen your love in tangible ways. And it has been a blessing, such a blessing, to our family. God calls us as His people to do more than just say we love others. God calls us to showing that love with our actions. So here's the question that I want to leave us with today. It's a question that we're going to put on the screen. And it's a question that I want us to take with us as we leave today. And here's the question. What is one thing that I can do this week to show God's love to someone with my actions? And I want you to think about that question this week and live with it. And then I'm going to encourage you and invite you to think about one thing that you could do this week to show God's love to somebody with your actions. Maybe it's listening to someone who's hurting. Maybe you have a neighbor who lost a loved one or a neighbor who's hurting because there's something very horrible going on in this neighbor's life. And maybe you could listen to that person. Maybe you could pray for someone and let someone know, hey, I'm praying for you. That's an act of love. As you pray for someone who's hurting. Or sick. Maybe you can make a meal for a neighbor who you know is going through a rough time. But sharing a meal can make a big difference in someone's life because it shows that person the love of God. But I would encourage you this week to think of one thing that you could do and then act on that by sharing God's love with someone else. Brothers and sisters, God calls us to love better. God calls us not just to say that we love people. God calls us to show it. So let's go from this place today, and instead of just talking about love, let's show God's love with our actions. And together all of God's people said, amen. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song called "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," and you can turn in your hymnals right now to that song. And it's a beautiful song about trusting in the Lord and turning our lives over to Jesus. I remember when I was learning to drive, my mother was teaching me. And when you're first learning, you sometimes don't always stay on the road, right? And I will never forget, she finally said, okay, it's your turn, but I remember that hand, her hand wanted to come right on over, and I kept thinking, why is her hand moving? And her hand was moving because she didn't want to let go. She didn't want to let me take the wheel. She was scared that I would go off, and I'm sure I did not live up to her standards. And so she wanted to put her hand on the wheel. And so many times we don't want to take our hand off the wheel of our lives. Amen. We want to just hold on to the wheel and say, you know, I've got this. I don't need anybody to live my life. But Jesus says the greatest decision that we could ever make is to give him the wheel. Amen. And so today, if you're driving your life and you've never given Jesus the wheel, you can do that today. And the Bible says it's the greatest decision that you'll ever make, is to turn over your life to him. I love that song, Jesus, Take the Wheel. Take it from my hands. I can't do this anymore. And if you're there today, where the point in your life where you think, you know, I can't do this anymore, I need help, Jesus wants to drive. And so today, I want to encourage you, if you've never received Jesus, you can give him the wheel. And he'll drive your life. It's not a perfect life, but it's a life with him at the wheel, and he'll take you through whatever darkness you face. Amen? He will help you drive safely through every single challenge that you have. And so today we want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus as Savior, I want to encourage you to repent of your sins, to tell Jesus, I'm done with my past, and I submit my life, I give my life to you. If you want to make that decision today, I want to invite you to come forward and receive Christ. If you're struggling with something in your life today and you need the prayers of God's people, we'll put hands on you today. We'll lay our hands on you and pray for you if you're struggling with something in your life. If we can help you today in any way, I would invite you to come. We're going to sing "Tis So Sweet and Trust to Trust in Jesus." Won't you stand now and we'll sing together. And if God has laid something on your heart, please come.